الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى. أما بعد، فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه الأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. In Surah Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines true believing men as مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. That the believing men, or the true believing men, are those that fulfilled their covenant, their promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines true believing men as those individuals that fulfilled their promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Of amongst them are those that discharged their responsibility. Another verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Nur, 18th juz, mentions, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاءِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. That looking at the Sahaba, they are men, again he uses the word rijal, they are men whom trade nor occupation distracted them from the remembrance of Allah, from performing their salah, from giving their zakah, and they feared the day in which the heart and eyes will be turning, meaning qiyamah. They fear this. Now, look at both of these verses. Both of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described men as those by a set of characteristics which are akhirah focused. Dhikr, salah, zakah, fulfilling responsibilities, fearing the akhirah. But he describes men, describes these individuals as those that are akhirah focused, of fulfilling huququllah and huquq al-ibad, fulfilling Allah's rights and fulfilling the rights of the creation. Now, contrary to pervading ideologies, which philosophies, beliefs, all antithetical to Islam, masculinity isn't defined by being alpha, by being dominant, by domination, by superiority, assertiveness, or confidence. Rather, manhood is found within the religion itself. And I'll give you an example. You know, when ulama of the past, they would want to describe something and show its importance. For example, Ibrahim Nakhai. Ibrahim Nakhai, rahimahullah, was the teacher's teacher of Imam Abu Hanifa in Kufa. When they wanted to describe something and to show its importance, they would add the word muru'ah, the word masculinity in there. For example, they would mention, true masculinity is to maintain family ties. Now the question arises, why even mention that? We understand the importance of maintaining family ties, but why mention true masculinity? Because sometimes it happens, and we hear this, and the same thing then, this was 2nd century Islam, that it's demeaning or it devalues yourself when somebody has wronged you, that you go and show them a good face. That you go and try and repair a relationship. So he said, no, true masculinity is to have that discipline to be able to humble yourself in front of somebody else. So when they wanted to highlight and emphasize something, they would add the word masculinity or manhood. And the muhaddithin, so you know how in every hadith there's a chain of narrations, there's a chain of narrators. One individual narrates from another, narrates from another. Of the conditions is of a person's integrity. And in terms of his integrity, how an individual is, they look at his muru'ah. Has he done something in his society or in his environment which goes against what he should have done? Again, looking muru'ah translates as like manhood, masculinity. Has he done something which contravenes or goes against that? Highlighting the emphasis of this towards a person's integrity. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show the value of individual, well, showing the value, but this hadith will show the value, that he once made a dua, that Allahumma a'izzal Islam bi ahabbi hadaini rajulaini ilayk. O Allah, strengthen Islam by the more beloved of these two, by Umar radiallahu an, or by Abu Jahl. Whoever is more, but he used the word bi ahabbi hadaini rajulain, by the most beloved of these two men. Now, both of them were respected. Both of them were courageous. Both of them had a strong and a position and a reputation in society. These qualities that you would expect to be admirable. But only one of them was given the tawfiq to accept Islam. And that was Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, look at these traits he had before Islam. He was respected. He had strength. He had a reputation. Praiseworthy quality, praiseworthy traits. However, they're not inherently, they themselves do not provide value in of itself. They're not, a person's value is not just by having these qualities. Once they utilize in the right way, once they utilize in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and the religion advocates, that's when it becomes praiseworthy. Now look at Umar radiallahu anhu. He's one individual. One individual, but because of his acceptance of Islam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were empowered for them to express their iman openly. Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu mentions, مَا زِلْنَا أَعِزَّةً مُنْدُ أَسْلَمَ عُمَرُ. Once Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, we gained strength. They gained confidence. That they were then able to express La ilaha illallah publicly and openly. Before that, the command was to be hidden. But once Umar radiallahu anhu was there, the respect, the strength that he gave, and this again, in light of the religion, he empowered. Remember, contrary to pervading ideologies and what we hear around it, it's not about domination. He had strength, but he didn't dominate. He gave confidence. He empowered others. That's what true manhood is. Now, as much as manhood, masculinity includes physical attributes, it's not limited to that. Yes, it's a significant part of it. For example, Umar radiallahu anhu, Islam advocates and encourages engaging in physical activities. That Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, when he was a Caliph, the leader at the time, he sent letters to his various governors that he had appointed in different regions. And he sent them letters and he said to them, عَلِّمُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ الْعَوْمُ وَالْفُرُوسِيَّةُ وَمَا سَارَ مِنَ الْمَثَلُ وَمَا حَسُنَ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ. That teach your children, number one, well, this isn't an order specifically, but the first thing he mentions in that is al-awm, swimming. Number two, al-furusiyya, horse riding. Number three, commonly known wisdoms. And number four, poetry. But break them down. Number one, swimming and horse riding. They were relevant things within their time that they would need for that physical training, for their physique, etc. He says he commands their governors, his governors, to teach them that physical training. So number one, it being physical. Number two, socio-cultural. Told them to teach them commonly known wisdoms. Meaning, what are the famous proverbs, etc. What are the things that people need to know? Their tarbiyah. So being aware socially and culturally. Why do I say culturally? Because he mentions about poetry also. And he mentions specific poetry. وَمَا حَسُنَ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ. That type of poetry which is good. Again, certain poetry is obscene, pretty bad. But to be back, the ones filled with wisdom, teach them wisdom and teach them good poetry. Meaning literacy skills, make sure they're educated, and socio-cultural training. Meaning a holistic education. Not just limited to just pure schooling, but giving them culture, giving them adab, instilling within them akhlaq, instilling within them physical, you know, إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. Indeed, your body has a right over you, meaning fulfill that body's right. That doesn't mean if a person doesn't have the physique, he's incomplete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah doesn't look at your appearances and your wealth, rather towards your heart and the nature of your deeds. And I'll give you an example. Umar radiallahu, there was one individual, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again this is just to break down in society what's true masculinity. It's about, you know, we'll hear it from certain popular speakers about being a high net worth individual. A high net worth individual, being confident, physical strength. I'll give you one example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where one person walked past, مَرَّ رَجُنَا رَسُولَ صَلَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالْ مَا تَقُولُونَ فِي هَذَا. A person walks past and he says to them, the sahaba around him, it's a teaching moment, that what do you say regarding this individual? So the sahaba said, حَرِيٌّ إِنْ خَطَبَ أَنْ يُنْكَحْ. That we think highly of him. If he proposes, they'll accept his proposal, meaning for marriage. If he proposes to anyone, they'll accept him. وَإِنْ شَفَعَ أَنْ يُشَفَّعْ. If he intercedes, his intercession will be accepted, meaning you have certain individuals that if they act on your behalf, everyone will accept you. So he's that individual. And if he speaks and yustama, everyone listens to him attentively. The Rasulullah remains silent. Again, a teaching moment. Somebody else comes, من فقراء المسلمين, a poor individual, doesn't have much wealth. He said to them, ما تقولون في هذا? What do you say now regarding him? They said, حَرِيٌّ إِنْ خَطَبَ أَلَّا يُنْكَحَ. We don't think greatly of him. If he proposes, he'll be rejected. If he tries to intercede, they'll reject him also. If he speaks, he's rejected, nobody will listen to him. But Rasulullah ﷺ then mentioned, هَذَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ مِلْءَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَ هَذَا. A world filled with this, he is better than a world filled with the first individual. Meaning his inner traits and qualities of this individual, his piety, his righteousness, his akhlaq, his adab, are far better, that he as an individual is better than a world of that first individual. Authentic narration. Masculinity, a person's value is not by his external attributes, not merely his external, meaning his appearance, etc. Again, these can contribute towards a person's position, but they don't define an individual. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was a great sahabi that became a jurist, meaning Imam Abu Hanifa, the entire Kufa was shaped through Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Once he moved to Kufa, his fiqh that he taught, but he didn't have the greatest physique. In fact, he once, Rasulullah ﷺ commanded him, أَيَّصَعَدَ شَجَرَةً, that he climbs a tree and gets, one narration mentions about miswak. So as he was on that tree, فَنَظَرَ أَصْحَابُ إِلَى سَاقِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ فَضَحِكُوا مِنْ حُشُومَتِهِ مِنْ حُمُوشَتِهِ. That they then, they looked at the shin of Ibn Mas'ud and they began laughing. Meaning, Ibn Mas'ud whose shin was very thin. He didn't have the greatest physique. So they began laughing at him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at this, he says, مِمَّا تَضْحَكُونَ. What are you laughing at? لَرِجْلُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ أُحُدٍ. My teacher would cry at this moment. And he would say that this thin leg of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is far weightier in the sight of Allah than the Mount Uhud. Meaning the value of Ibn Mas'ud, he may not have that physique, but that thin shin of his weighs more in the sight of Allah than Mount Uhud. His value is not in his physique, his value is in what he contains. In the ilm, that knowledge, the akhlaq, the adab, the etiquettes of that, in the humility within him, that's where his qualities lie. And to further corroborate, and I mentioned before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at your riches, He does not look at your appearances, but rather looks at your heart and the nature of your deeds. Umar radiallahu anhu once mentioned, he was in his congregation, he was addressing them and he said, لَا يُعْجِبَنَّكُمْ مِنَ الرَّجْلِ طَنْطَنَتُهُ. That a person's speech, you know, him being, some people have this demeanor that when they speak, they've got a certain way with words. He said, don't let that individual fool you. And you'll see it sometimes, certain influential individuals, they've got certain rhetoric, they know to play with words and how they attract individuals. He said, don't allow an individual to mislead you with his words. Rather, the individual man adda al-amana, the individual who fulfills his responsibility, meaning he's trustworthy. Number two, wakaffa an a'radi an-nas, and he refrains from violating other people's honors. Fahuwa rajul, he's a true man, meaning in his piety, righteousness, his inner qualities is where his masculinity and his manhood lies. Muhammad ibn Nadr, rahimahullah, another great scholar. My point over here is just to try and break down social norms, to try and break down certain pervading ideologies, certain rhetoric that's used about what masculinity is, defining and telling you what that is. Another one thing he mentions, he's talking about in social, he said, أَوَّلُ الْمُرُوءَ, the first sign or the first part of masculinity is طَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ. It's about meeting people with a cheerful face. Not domination, not superiority, not acting like you're above others, showing humility, meaning طَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ, with a cheerful face. Number two, التَوَدُّدْ إِلَى النَّاسِ, kindness towards people. Kindness towards individual, not a person who's trying to show authority, but kindness towards them. Number three, قَضَاءُ الْحَوَائِجِ. What's the third trait of true masculinity? He says, fulfilling other people's needs. It's not about putting people others down, rather being in the service of others. These were his three advices about masculinity. Again, a great, great scholar of the past. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I end of this hadith before I conclude. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, لا تكونوا إمعتن. Don't be blind followers, don't be sheep. Whatever we hear, whatever was the common retort, we don't just follow it. Rasulullah then explained, إِنْ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسُ أَحْسَنَّا, meaning that if people are good to us, we're good. وَإِنْ ظَلَمُوا ظَلَمْنَا, if people are evil, then we'll be the same and we'll reciprocate evil. Meaning, if they oppress, we'll oppress. Don't just be blind followers. Don't just follow social norms. Think. Then, Rasulullah then mentions, وَطِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, discipline yourselves. Discipline yourselves. Put yourself within the religion. Be grounded in faith. Be grounded in Islam. Understand masculinity. Understand manhood in light of Islam. إِنْ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسُ أَن تُحْشِرُوا, if people are good, then be good to them. وَإِنْ أَسَاءُوا فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا, if they are evil, they do wrong, then do not be unjust. Rasulullah doesn't say be good to them. He doesn't say that either. Meaning you can be, but he's saying that don't reciprocate evil. There are times wherein you'll need to take your right. There will be times. But again, in light of the religion, you'll do it. Again, that shows discipline. You're not impetuous and impulsive in that situation. You've done it in light of the religion, according to your right. It's not impetuous. You've not done something out of control. You've done it within control. Rationally, you've followed up. To conclude again, number one, real manhood and masculinity isn't defined by pure strength, just by mere strength or wealth. These can contribute, but they don't define an individual. Rather, his taqwa, his iman, his emotional maturity, these are what define an individual. And how do we learn this? We learn this through the Quran and Sunnah, lived through the lives of the Sahaba. Those are practical examples. And that's why on every Wednesday, after between Maghrib and Isha, we have the seerah. Because one thing is we have the ahadith, we mention certain narrations, the theory. But when you have an applicable study, you have the seerah, where you can go through a lived life of individuals, you can see those qualities applied. You can see that applied in people's lives, that how do we embody those characteristics? What's true masculinity? What's manhood? Compared to what the pervading things that we hear on social media, what we hear surrounding us on what masculinity and manhood is. We can understand it in light of the Sahaba, their lives, the seerah. It's about education. If you don't understand, as Rasulullah mentioned, لَا تَكُونُوا إِمَّعَةً, don't be blind followers. Don't just follow social norms. We are individuals that set norms, we don't follow them. And finally, inshallah, from next month, for the youngsters aged from about 15, I know I said youngsters, but up to about 30, 35 inshallah, we'll have once a month on a Friday night, it's like a Friday night majlis, Friday night gathering for those individuals between 15 and 30, 35, where we discuss and openly any current issues or topics people want to discuss and offload. You can call it a group counselling or whatever you want to, however you want to term it, an opportunity for people to offload and explore ideas. That if there are certain things challenging you, or your iman, or your mind, beliefs, or things that are challenging you in society that don't align with Islam, and you want to discuss them, one, inshallah, from next month, inshallah, we're going to have one Friday night a month where we can discuss this openly, again, for the youngsters, separate hall, where no adults, just openly with myself, and we'll open the floor to these ideas. And if people don't have ideas, we'll go through a spiritually healing book, meaning a spiritual healing book, where it's about Islamic psychology, trying to heal ourselves spiritually and psychologically. How do we do that? If there are no ideas, then we'll start with that. But I request that once the poster goes out, join the group, inshallah, and you'll be made aware. May Allah grant us all true understanding and tawfiq.